coming at you from 1955 or outer space. It is the Bennett Brothers podcast for the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show. And the episode will be Alien Commies from the Future. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us yet again as we delve into the final season of S.H.I.E.L.D. and we talk about the latest episode, spoiling the heck out of it and talking about all the connections and things we like, things we didn't like, and sort of recapping the episode for you out there in listener land. If you want to join the conversation, go to facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Send us an email, BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter @BennettBrosPod. Also go to patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast to get exclusive mini casts. And to get those mini casts, you just have to donate. And if you donate, it helps us out on our end, and we really appreciate it. And if you don't want to do that, we totally understand. You can keep listening. One thing you can do for us is go to like iTunes, wherever you download this podcast, and give us a review, you know, a nice 5-star review or 2 thumbs up or a 10-star review or whatever kind of review
system.
3.5 stars. Whatever kind of review system your podcast platform does, we would really appreciate. Brings more listeners, brings more interactivity, brings more people correcting things we did wrong. And maybe it brings more people in, like Ed Pierce from last episode. We might get more people on this show. Who knows?
Should we surprise call him again?
Surprise call him just randomly?
I am going to text him that we're recording right now.
But we would appreciate all of that. So patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. If you want to catch up on previous episodes, go to Bennett Brothers Podcast.wordpress.com. And the reason you might want to go there is because then you can recap on Agent Carter, because we did that podcast, all 2 seasons worth, and you should probably watch that show and catch up before you watch any more of this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because I have a feeling there's going to be more connectivity as we move forward, at least with one specific character we will be talking about this episode. So go there, you can listen to all of our previous podcasts, and that is a delight for all of you out there, I'm assuming. All 250 episodes, something like that. So yeah, we're going to keep bringing you these Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcasts as long as possible, because this one's a little bit later again. We apologize for that. We try to get them out quickly, but I will be going into the hospital soon, so hopefully we'll be able to maybe do this over the phone, and Jerry and I will continue this going forward, but there may be some delays depending on how everything goes on my end. But
you selfish son of a bitch. I know.
But we're going to do our best to get these out to you, and so bear with us as we venture forth into the unknown. But before we talk about any more unknown, we're going to talk about factual news. And none of that not news, because we don't like the not news.
No.
I hear Idris Elba is going to be James Bond again. I don't know if that's true.
That was great. Nice.
Classic not news.
The one not news is Haley Atwell, who played Agent Carter. There's a text saying that she's not going to be showing up anymore. She's done. She won't be showing up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because somebody asked her that on Facebook. And she responded with no and then the peace sign, which Joel and I talked earlier. We've determined that she's actually just saying no to the concept of peace.
She's against peace.
She's definitely a warmonger. It's been misinterpreted.
Yeah, I don't know. Is she in anything right now? Is she doing any television shows or movies?
Then I know. Maybe, hey, the last movie I saw her in just happened to be the biggest blockbuster of all time.
But that's very true.
And she was the last thing seen in the movie. Right.
But I thought she was doing a TV show for a little bit and that bombed.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if
you know why it bombed? Because she didn't play Agent Carter.
Maybe. Well, she's fantastic. I think she does a great job as Agent Carter. I didn't watch her other show, so I can't say if that show was good or not, but I'm assuming probably not.
I'm looking at other news here and I just realized that I have not seen the trailer yet for the sequel to Train to Busan. Have you watched it?
I have not. The TV show?
No, there's another movie, Peninsula, Escape the Apocalypse. It's basically called Peninsula. I'm going to have to watch this when this podcast is over because it's awesome.
And something Jerry and I talked about briefly, I have just finished. I watched the latest DC animated movie, Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, something like that. And good stuff. It wraps up. It sort of kind of ties up some of the DC animated universe continuity. And if you need more superhero stuff in your life, go check that out, or at least check out the you should probably watch all of it beforehand because it ties together Suicide Squad and Teen Titans and all the sorts of stuff that you want to get tied together in the DC animated universe. So that was good stuff.
Isn't it the DC extended animated universe?
I think so.
I think it's the other crazy. Is extended from this. Again, it's the DCFU.
But
the
we might some of these movies might end up appearing in our yearly end of the year best superhero movies. It's going to be much more limited this year as far as superhero movies because everything is getting pushed back. So there's not a lot of superhero movies that have come out so far this year. Speaking of getting pushed back, Wonder Woman has gotten pushed back along with Tenet. And those were going to be the big summer opening blockbusters. They were going to restart theaters. But with everything going on, they have pushed them back. And rightfully so. I think, you know, safe than sorry. So we will get to those when we can.
And let's get into some S.H.I.E.L.D. now. Again, this episode is called Alien Commies from the Future. I had a hell of a time trying to figure out the name of it because it was such a long name that when I'd go hit the get info on Xfinity, and it would say Alien Commies from the Foo.
From the Foo.
And I'm like, what is it? And only until the very end of the episode when he actually says the line, I was able to like, oh, I bet you that's what it is.
I do enjoy Alien Commies from the Foo.
It's the FU. It's the film universe.
Exactly.
So what did you think of this episode, Joel?
Yeah, I liked it. This is, again, second time. This isn't rocket science television. This isn't, you know.
But what is it? Don't tell me what it isn't. Tell me what it is.
It is very entertaining, and I love the characters, and putting them in situations like this, and tying into other TV shows. It's just fun. It is a fun ride. They're having fun. I'm having fun along with them. I'm enjoying watching these. I think I like them more the second time I watch them because I think there's a lot of details and a lot of little things they're doing this season that you might not necessarily notice on the first view. And I'm not talking like technical stuff. I'm not talking about little Easter eggs and things like that. I'm talking about just production side of things, what they're trying to do and how they're accomplishing it. And I think it's a lot of fun. I think there's going to be some good insight that I'm going to throw out that might be just, you know, it's fun to hear, like, oh, that's interesting. So stay tuned
I'll
for some of that.
I think it's interesting.
Dr. Doom is also in this episode. No.
You get lucky one time.
I got the one time was great, though. It was a great. We should go back and listen to that little segment. But I really enjoyed this episode. You?
I did. Yeah, this went by really fast. Fun episode. Excitement, return of old characters, new. I told Debbie when we were watching, I'm like, I'm so glad we're done with 31. I want to keep moving forward in time like this. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited for that. And it was also in the previously on, they actually showed a little bit, literally 1 second of the episode that had Agent Carter and Dum Dum Dugan in it.
Yep.
From that, and I thought, oh, that was kind of cool. I was like, maybe they'll show up, you know. But I was very excited about that. I'm looking forward to. I'm just like, it went by so fast. I'm like, okay. Next. And that's always a positive sign. There are nitpicky stuff, as there always are, but I found myself in this episode much less than the previous one. So,
well, that's always good. Mm-hmm. Jerry's not going to be as cynical this podcast.
Oh, I'll still be cynical. I'll dig it up.
All right, this episode is directed by Nina Lopez Corrado. She has actually done, this is, I believe, her sixth episode she's directed.
Hang on, before we go any farther, I got a response back from Mr. Pierce in our Get Pierce segment. I said, we're recording right now, and he says, it's about time, literally. Okay, that's terrible. Geez. That's terrible. This may be the last Get Pierce segment. This
just
next part doesn't get
responses before. Yeah,
I know. Well, you know, this is what happens when we don't. And he said I haven't read this next paragraph yet. I'm scared. All right. He says they said they shouldn't change history too much, but now they've left two robots in the past. All right.
Well, they're disintegrated robots, so I don't know if that counts.
That's true. Unless he's talking about Enoch.
They actually explain that in this episode. They actually explain why they don't self-destruct, why they disintegrate.
Yeah, that's right. This Pierce guy is really blowing it. Well, I guess he's
writers,
not so... Pierce better be... sorry, Mr. Pierce. Better luck next month or next week because this one wasn't piercing enough.
Excellent. So we'll get into the episode here. The episode starts at Groom Lake. Groom Lake, New Mexico? And we see a couple
Nevada.
Who's, Nevada, yep. Oh, wow. New Mexico. Wait.
1955, Groom Lake, Nevada, near Area 51.
Yes.
Truck date, looking up for UFOs.
Yeah, so we have a couple in the in their thing, getting
in their thing, everybody.
A little hanky panky. And then they see the Zephyr, and the Zephyr flies overhead.
And it comes out in a circle, which helps sell the flying saucer effect. If you notice that, I thought that was really
cool.
And
they do get a mention here where Coulson on the Zephyr, he says, make sure we time jump while we're flying.
We should be flying when we jump.
Good to know for next time, because there will be a next time.
And then we're given another great title treatment.
Yes, very nice. Very 1950s monster.
And you got that music. You know, not that, but something sounds.
Someone was whistling? I don't know.
I can go, ooh, wee.
Probably one of the scenes that is much different than the episode. We are on the
Chronicon ship. The lights turn on from the floor.
Yeah, we're in the Matrix.
Yes.
This is good stuff. We get introduced to a character named Sybil, who's played by Tamara Taylor. She was on Bones for a bunch of episodes. She was the voice of Wonder Woman in Justice League God and Monsters, which I thought was interesting. And she was also in the little TV series known as Lost.
Who would you play in Lost?
For two episodes. She played someone named Susan.
Nah, it's not doing it for me.
Yeah, I know. It's probably...
But she is called a predictor.
Predictor. So this is where we get the information that why they disintegrate as opposed to blowing up is so they don't leave any parts around, so that way they don't hasten the formation of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The formation
of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yes, I thought was really clever, and again, apparently Ed Pierce didn't hear that part, so
yeah, he was too busy. I don't know what he was doing. He's probably looking for Daisy's sister in this one. But also you had the fact that the one hunter was telling the other hunter, he's like, this is why you're a hunter and not a predictor, as in you're a lower class or you're a different class. So I thought that was interesting. And then they go, well, now we're moving on. And then lights go out.
We also get the mention of Helios is a viable plan. And we also get mention of the fact that there are other Chromacons on the planet already with different disguises or different faces.
Yes. Here's the thing I thought about this whole episode when they kept talking about Helios is because I'm watching it and taking notes kind of while I'm watching it, I'm hearing Helios, but I'm like, if they talked about this in any detail, all I'm doing is basically it's as far as I can tell, and from an outside source, is it's the MacGuffin of the episode. It doesn't really matter. So I'm like, this must just be the thing that is the doomsday thing. This is the MacGuffin.
I was going to have you explain it to me later on.
Oh, God, no.
Awesome. On another side note, no Fitz again this episode. It's at three episodes now without
Fitz. Yeah, Debbie was asking, where is she? And I said, Joel said that he was making movies.
Well, possibly. And I think we're going to get an episode. We're going to get an all Fitz episode at some point. I have a feeling. I don't know when, but I think that's
you're saying
coming.
That his... Never mind. I'm learning not to tell terrible jokes anymore. Or at least for this one moment in time.
Yeah. And it's over.
Fitz and starts. No.
Oh, there it is. Was that it?
Well,
was
that it? It would have mixed in so much better and just side-splitting.
Back on the Zephyr, we have Mac pulling his Mac leadership card and calling out Daisy and Deke, which I did enjoy. When he goes to Deke, he's like, you're a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent now. You do what I say till the mission's over. And I kind of like that.
And this comes up later in the conversation. We'll get to the point where him and Daisy are talking about it. But it resonated with me because it was so out of character for him in the last episode. Like, I've got my orders to kill. I'm like, you would question that so much, and they do address that later.
Yes, they do.
But they even in this moment, you think he would have stood up and said, like, well, I wasn't comfortable doing it anyways, because it's so out of character for him. And the fact that he's still not making comments about it here, I was like, well, shit, he should really be like saying, I don't want to do it.
We did talk about last episode how there was more phone conversation or walkie-talkie.
Yeah, she told him that he was this monster. And he's Hitler. Kill Hitler as a baby. Deadpool couldn't kill Hitler as a baby. We learned that in the movie.
We also find out in this scene from Simmons that moving backward in time takes way more energy than moving forward in time.
Where are they getting their energy from again?
Well, we don't know.
No, they mentioned. She mentions something.
Well, they get the time monolith.
That's right.
That's how they were able to go back in time, but now they're following the Chronicons.
They're drifting through time following the Chrononicons. Or Chronicons. We find out that Area 51 is a S.H.I.E.L.D. base, are all areas. Yes.
Where's Area 1 at?
Don't know.
And then this is where we get mention of Jerry said the MacGuffin, the ion fusion, which Deke has mentioned that in the future they figure it out and they use it as ship destroyers. And now that there's a ship chasing the Chronicons.
And the Chronicons had enough energy to do this, is what he says.
Chronicons.
Yes.
Chronicons. I'll get it right.
All right. Creepy robot guys from space. Now we're going to heading over to the flying rocket diner.
Yes. So we're going to go to the diner where we have someone... because when you go on, when you go online, some people are huge car enthusiasts and they like to post things on like IMDb and things like that. So they were talking about, they listened to the walkie-talkie and we find out that the new 55 model has come out.
Which was a clever way of telling us the year.
Yes, even though it could have been 1954 when that model actually came out. And then they were talking about the diner. There's two cars in the diner's parking lot that came out in 56 and 57. And I was like, holy smokes.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I nerd out on certain things too.
Of course. And it doesn't take away from the episode.
No, I'm done. This was my last podcast
because
of that.
They don't get the car makes models correct in time traveling. We have there in the diner, Mac and Yo-Yo have a nice little bonding sequence here where she talks about, you know, the new arms and how she's not able to use her powers. Boo. Use your damn powers. I don't like that. Well, we'll see. You know what it is? It's the Spider-Man problem. He can't use his powers anymore because love is weird and he's feeling weird and it's very upsetting. I want her to use his powers. We get introduced to Gerald Sharp from the Department of Defense.
I heard it the first time, Gerald Shark.
Oh,
but luckily, they said enough later. I'm like, I need to go back and correct them right now.
A lot later. May played by Michael Gaston. You may remember him lately, Jerry, from Man in the High Castle.
I remember him from that. I remember him from Leftovers. Yes, he's shown up in a lot of stuff lately.
He's been in a ton of stuff. He's one of those, that guy. He was also in Fringe for a bunch of episodes. But he also did a ton of movies back like in the 90s.
Like, hey, you didn't mention the waitress was disgusted with the interracial dating of holding hands at the table. We got another one of those moments. Like, how could they do it?
Because they're only holding hands though, because she has robot hands. So
I know,
count.
But that's what I'm saying. It was like, oh, how could they?
Yeah, whatever. It didn't bother me.
No, it didn't bother me. I'm saying they're going to have to keep playing with it each generation. Mm-hmm. Every time, you know, when they're in the 60s, it'll be a little bit more accepted. You know, sure. A little bit more accepted.
And then, Sharp. You order some coffee. He's like, how can I get some coffee? And she's already pouring it for him. I thought that was kind of funny. The first second time I saw it, I was like, nice. He's a jerk. And Daisy poisons him.
She poisons him.
He is drugged and knocked out. I don't know. He must have like got up and walked out and then passed out. Or did he pass out there and they carried him out?
Doesn't matter.
I don't know how this happens.
That's a good point, yeah.
Back on the Zephyr, May is up and about.
Or oot and a boot if you were Canadian.
But we're not, so there you go. Back at Area 51. So the Coulson is going in a sharp. And then Simmons is going in as Agent Carter.
Debbie picked it up before I did, even before they got there, when she said, oh, she's going as somebody else. Mm-hmm. They didn't explain it. And Debbie's like, oh, Carter. I'm like, oh, God dang, how did I not get that first?
There is a scene, someone mentioned this on Reddit, there was a scene, I want to say, season 2 or season 3, where Simmons kind of nerds out about Agent Carter and, like, wishing she could have been Agent Carter or seeing the things Agent Carter does. And it's fun to see her playing Agent Carter now in the future. I thought that was a nice little throwback. We get introduced to Dr. Pascal Vega, and the only reason I'm bringing him up because he is such a minor character in this, but he's played by Julian Acosta, who is married to the director. Wait, that can't be true. Now that I look at the last names, unless they have different last names.
This is better than this my joke. This is when Joel catches himself right in the middle. I love these moments.
I think it just happened.
This is when he's going through his data and he's like, and I said these words, and he's reading the teleprompter no matter what it says.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Exactly. You just did her. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Oh, man.
Yes. Blame it on the chemo.
I could be right. I could be right. I blame it on the chemo. That's terrible.
Why is it so? I would use that every day I make a mistake.
So according to my sources, guest star Julian Acosta is married to the director Nina Lopez Corrado. They just didn't change their names, probably, because actors don't do that. So, therefore, I'm sticking by my guns here.
So, Gina and Nina?
Gina and Nina?
Yeah, you said Gina Lopez and Nina.
No, Julian.
Oh, I heard it differently. Nina. Well, you said it weird because you're slurring your... Yes, that's what I'm doing. Chemo, yes. That's what I'm going to do.
We get introduced to a communicator watch, very similar to Dick Tracy. Like, when I was a kid, I had a Dick Tracy wristwatch.
That's right. You were a kid in the 1930s.
It was a Dick Tracy wristwatch that was a walkie-talkie. Oh, a wristwatch that was a walkie-talkie and had a big antenna on it and everything.
That's right.
Like
the movie came out in 90, so you were 9. Yeah, that would have been perfect for you.
Yeah. So
calling Dick Tracy. Dick Tracy.
You know, I mean, there's a movie we could do a review.
People had that antenna though. And the kids kept looking at their watch. What time is it? Right in the eye. Oh, boom, yeah. They had to take that out. Absolutely. It was worse than a Boba Fett backpack.
It was just a wrist walkie-talkie. It didn't even tell the time on it.
In the advertisement, they're like, "Look, kids, you can talk to your friends and ask them what time it is."
But on a side note, we should do a podcast maybe on a review of Dick Tracy.
Are you what?
Why not? It's a comic book comic thing. Yeah, just throwing it out there. If you want to hear that, let us know.
Yeah, no, I'm only doing it if there's a scream for it on the internet or somewhere. Because
there's never been
it.
A scream for anything we do, Jerry.
I know, it's really sad. There was that one time where everybody was screaming, "Stop podcasting."
Yeah, that was a low moment for us.
Yikes. So we also learned about an EMP, which is foreshadowing.
An EMP that, when working, will stop all electrical devices in 30 feet of it, which I thought that was fun. And then Helios is on the test platform, which is like a spaceship almost.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting scene here. So Coulson's wearing his glasses, and he takes a picture by pushing the button on his glasses.
Yes, he did.
Aren't his glasses just, usually they like have video, and they're just videotaping
Video
everything?
Would make much more sense.
Instead of him having to push the button to take
but
the picture.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Also, here's an idea. He's a robot. Why does his eyes just do it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, Robot Coulson's going to the bathroom. Stop looking. Whoops.
Does he have to go to the bathroom?
Exactly. Oil? Motor fluid?
Well, he does drink, so he has to get rid of the liquid somehow, unless he burns it into a fuel or something. How is he fueled, Jerry? Is it ion fission?
How are the Chronicons fueled?
They're fueled by time. Back on the Zephyr, Mac and Yo-Yo, they try to interrogate Sharp, and he is not having it because he wrote the book on interrogation. Back at Area 51, Coulson and Simmons, they're testing the scientists to see if any of them are a Chronicom by getting an emotional reaction out of them. Interesting thing here I was reading on the Reddit page here. This is a global show, so people see it all over. Globally, most people didn't understand the joke of the moist, because that is more of an American thing. You know, moist being that word that some people really cringe at because they don't like that word. But that seems to be an American thing, an American inside joke, not globally.
Okay.
And I thought that was fascinating.
I would call that interesting.
Interesting, yes. Well, I say fascinating. I think Spock has a definition of what's fascinating and what's
what
interesting.
What do you think when something's really fascinating? You go, that's intriguing?
It's very fascinating.
Let me ask you a question, because you just backed up a second, and we talked about the interrogation. If, in the episode, they had knocked that guy out and gotten his ID and stuff, and that was the last we saw of him in this episode, would we have missed anything with that character throughout the entire episode?
Sharp, you're talking about?
Yes. If he had never showed up again the episode.
He does have the interrogation thing where he says Helios doesn't work.
That was it, right? That's the only thing I could think of. Because other than that...
I think they wanted to do the big joke of... They're the aliens from Alien.
It kind of does feel like that. Like we need to have this guy here so we can do this bit at the end. And I felt like there was nothing wrong with any of those scenes, but there was nothing that was like, oh, this is making the episode better. I kept like going, okay, I get it. Nothing's really happening here. Let's get back to the other part of the action. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. So we also find out there are a bunch of VIPs that are coming in on a bus. I thought this was a little throwaway joke. I don't even think they intended it, but like there are some VIPs coming in on the bus. And if you remember correctly,
this
before the
joke.
Zephyr,
the bus was
the way they traveled.
No, this is terrible. That's not going to be. That's terrible.
Well, I liked it, and I'm pointing it out.
No. And it's here's the other thing. I thought this was confusing. In fact, and they go, VIP is in the bus. And so I'm like, oh, boy. Because, again, I'm thinking we're going to get to see... which again, at this point in the show when I'm watching it, I'm realizing that I've completely forgotten Peggy's partner's name. I'm like, oh, and so I literally really? Like I wouldn't get this now. I'm saying at that time, work with me here. Jesus. And so I'm like, oh, I wrote down Peggy's old flame, and then all of a sudden, like 30 seconds later after the commercial, like Daniel Sousa. But I thought it was interesting is they said VIP's in the bus, and then the next thing we do is we see some guy walking out of a car. I'm like, that was timing off a little bit. You know, you mentioned that there's somebody but you mentioned someone's coming here and they're coming on this bus and Coulson's going out there, and then you cut to a guy getting out of a car. I was like, it was a little awkward for me that moment.
You can see the bus though. It's not
like
the bus wasn't
there.
Yeah, I
know. It just was a weird transition. I'm just saying it wrecked the episode. Well, I'm over it. I was over it then, too.
Because, like Jerry said, we get introduced to a character, a crossover character from Agent Carter.
Agent
Daniel Sousa. Great, great, great crossover. I loved it.
And again, he is, somehow we do know he makes it into the future because he played a cop in the Avengers.
Will that tie in? So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, he's in the Avengers movie as a no-name cop for a quick shot or two. And the same actor, where actors have played multiple characters
in the Avengers,
in the MCU.
His name was Samuel Dusa. It's written
terrible. multiple actors have played multiple characters, even speaking characters. If you want to get into the MCU, we have
nobody wants to.
The same actress from Civil War was also in Luke Cage. So
yes, Alfred Woodward.
Yes. Alfred. Wow. Good pull. Good pull.
So we go back to the Zephyr. I'm going to tell you, when this moment, when he showed up there, Debbie did not know he was going to be in this. So she's like, oh my God, she gets so excited. Then she's like, where do I know him from?
Oh, nice.
It was great. I'm like, nice. I explained it. And she's like, and I watched her face. She's like, oh yeah. And she got so excited. Because again, Agent Carter was 4 years ago, five? Mm-hmm. 5 years ago. It was 5 years ago.
Agent Carter left off on a cliffhanger.
Yep.
So I don't know if we're going to get an answer to that cliffhanger, because the cliffhanger was more about the other character who is escaping me.
It'd be Agent Carter.
The jerk who ends up becoming a good guy. Why can I not remember his name? Jerry's going to name for me.
You know what I'm seeing is his face? I'm seeing his face as the guy who was the cop on NYPD Blue who went on to be on CSI Miami. That's who I see in my head, even though it's not him. That's
Jack Thompson. And you're thinking of Daniel Caruso.
I know, but don't you see Daniel Caruso's face?
A little bit.
Yes.
Now
you do.
But Jack Thompson.
You sure it wasn't Tom Jackson?
Tom Jackson. You just want to switch names around.
Yes, I do.
All right, Barry Jenitz, here we go.
I see what you've done there. So
we go back to the Zephyr. This is the scene Jerry had talked about previously where
Daisy is trying. No, she's trying to justify murdering the kid to Deke. That's what she's doing. She's like, no, this is why you should have murdered
that
22-year-old child.
He's the Grand Wizard of Hydra.
And let me ask you this. You had an issue back and forth when we were talking before the podcast. Did that clear that up?
Yes.
That it wasn't too that? Okay.
Yeah, no. That was
a Reddit mess?
No, that was just me watching it a second time going, wait a minute.
Okay.
So, yeah, don't worry about this out there, folks. Nothing to see here. No. Back at Area 51, there's a great little scene here where Sousa finds out that Agent Carter is in the building. And he starts walking. He's excited. He actually looks into the reflection to kind of straighten his hair out here.
That's true. I didn't really put that together.
He actually thinks she's there. And so he's trying to, like, make himself look good. I love that little bit. And it's so if you blink, you miss it.
Yeah, there was also a part back there, even though I don't really care about the storyline, I thought it was important to note that when Deke was talking to Daisy, Sky, Quake, he basically says he's like he's changing to be a better person. He's not the same Deke he was when she first met him at the lighthouse in the future when he comes flying in like Star-Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Although he was barely that character very long anyways.
Yes. So he confronts Simmons here, and I like this little scene here, and we find out that Sousa is actually in charge of the West Coast SSR office. Former SSR office. I guess it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. office now.
Her reaction was great because we also saw somebody else. Oh, it was on the actual bus. Somebody realized
Coulson sees him a little bit later.
No, but on the bus when they were realizing he was showing up there, it was Daisy who realized. It's like, she realized who he was.
Yes.
And so then watching Gemma, I was kind of like, I was hoping that she would realize since the jig was up, instead of like just kind of like saying the rest of me, he's like, why didn't she kind of just go, hey, can we go talk in the other room for a little bit so we can explain this? You know, like one of those statements.
Yeah,
no, like we should go in the other room and talk about this.
I wrote this later. He can't be portrayed as an idiot in this.
Absolutely.
Because in Agent Carter, if you remember, he was the one character who sided with Peggy.
He was the best character, yeah.
He was a good guy. He was a very intelligent investigator. So he can't look like an idiot.
Oh, and I'm sure coming back to this.
Sure, let's go in the other room.
I'm sure that character, the actor, unless he's hard up for money, probably was like, hey, I'm going to come back, you know, make sure it's written well. And like, these guys also probably respect the hell out of the character, so they were going to write him.
Of course.
Right.
Of course. So does this tie in then to the cinematic universe? Because we know Jarvis makes an appearance. No, I mean, this is, it's crazy.
How does it not when Agent Carter herself was on this TV series?
It's also very true. And Dum Dum Dugan and, and all the other crossover
Nick
characters.
Nick Fury,
Lady Sif.
And
all right, so we go onto the bus, which I haven't said that in a long time in this podcast, which is great. Coulson is questioning people on the bus.
Weird sequence.
An emotional reaction out of that.
My emotional reaction was, I'm like, what's wrong with you? It's like that woman gets like, how could you talk to me that way about this? I'm like, really? He's just talking. Why is she so weird about that?
It's supposed to be funny. The interviews.
This part wasn't that funny.
No, it really wasn't that funny. No. But, you know, they were trying to carry on this bit.
Yeah. Fail.
And he gets arrested by Sousa.
Yes.
He's really excited to see him, too.
That was cute. I liked his excitement of seeing historic figures is always good.
On the Zephyr, May had tried to go and interrogate Sharp, but May comes out and he's like, He called me Oriental.
I had to pull him off.
I thought that was really funny. So they send in Deke because he's the white guy. And
they bring in the white privilege phrase.
It does. And that doesn't work either. I want to point that out. That he's not doing it because he's racist, even though he probably is. He's 1950s racist. Or he's just racist. But he's doing it because he thinks they're all commies. So they don't actually address that later on, but I'm bringing it up now. So back in Area 51. Daisy comes in, she's pretending to be a CIA agent, and she's there to convince Sousa. So she starts bringing up things from Agent Carter, the Isodyne Energy, the Hugh Jones, and the Council of Nine.
I knew you would do this because I was like, when he was mentioning those things, I'm going, I'm pretty sure these are both things from the show, but I wasn't sure if it was even more.
I'm going to get a little more on this because then Sousa makes up the line. He's like, did you get my report about sleeper agents
like
post-World
too.
War II, which is Hydra, which is, you know,
so he's
Captain
aware.
America, all that kind of stuff.
This is leading somewhere, by the way, not even just next episode. I have theories about
they
this.
They also mention that he, you know, he fought in the war and he got hurt. Now, from the Agent Carter side of things, and from Captain America, the other one.
Winter Soldier.
Peggy Carter says her husband was rescued by Captain America, along with thousands of others. We don't know who Peggy marries, if it's Captain America.
It's not Captain America.
Or if it's someone in the show. If Agent Carter would have gotten third season, they were really going towards Sousa marrying Agent Carter because they had a passionate kiss in the show. Sousa mentioned that Captain America was present at the battle where he lost his leg. So there's a lot of connections there. I wish they would have mentioned or hinted at something along those lines. It just a Captain America reference, like you were in the battle with Captain America where you got hurt or something like that. I thought that would have been a nice little further Easter egg. We'll see if they explore this. I'm hoping they explore this a little bit, but we'll find out. Because, again, it's a nebulous thing for them to try to work around the MCU and what they just did with Endgame and, you know, Agent Carter. So we'll see what happens. But I thought this was a really interesting info dump connecting everything.
Yes.
Back on the Zephyr, Sharp, this is when he's like, no, I'm not going to get fooled by your commie tricks. The Helios doesn't work, so don't worry about it. And this is where he gets the information.
This whole sequence is relevant because of this.
Yes. And then Deke goes, tells everyone the Helios doesn't work. They don't have a power source strong enough. But there is a power source on the planet strong enough, and it is the Chronicons. Comic-Cons? Why will I never say that correctly? And which is interesting here, the other further line to make this more dramatic is that when they set off Helios, it'll set off an explosion. And right now at Area 51, the S.H.I.E.L.D. brain trust is there. So all the higher-ups from S.H.I.E.L.D., or at least some of the higher-ups from S.H.I.E.L.D., are actually at Area 51, so they would all die. Which I thought, you know, it's a throwaway thing that you don't even hear barely, but it's important to the episode. To make it a bigger threat. Back at Area 51, we get to see a new Chronicon. And I don't know if you knew this.
Each time.
I don't know if you knew this, Jerry. Do you know who's playing this Chronicon?
That's somebody from Sons of Anarchy.
No, it is played by Jesse Graff. And you're like, Jesse Graff? Why do I know that name? She was on American Ninja Warrior. She was the woman who got further than other woman, and she became a stunt woman. And this is her in this episode. She's playing this character. She's a stunt woman for Hollywood now because of everything. She's just very talented, and she's very athletic. And for those of you who watch American Ninja Warrior, you know exactly who she is.
Jeez, why don't you marry her? Oh, my God.
So she has infiltrated the base.
She opened up her fingernail, and she's infecting the system.
And we also get a little return of the Terminator music. Or something close to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then May and Yo-Yo show up.
They're disguised as female pilots, and we're given a little history lesson.
Yes. What's a history lesson, Jerry?
Don't underestimate women.
Well, the history that...
So you're saying we should underestimate women? What is wrong with you?
Female pilots weren't looked at weird back at that time because they flew the planes that towed the targets. And I thought that was fascinating. I also thought there was a little bit of a connection here. Not much, but a little bit of connection to Captain Marvel and the test pilots from Captain Marvel.
I think you're stretching it.
I know. But we have this great moment here where they put the masks on. And I thought this shot coming up here was phenomenal, where they take the gas canisters and they throw it in there, and it's that slow motion where they're bouncing. Mm-hmm. What a great-looking shot. What a well-done shot. Very cinematic. Really well done.
Hopefully the follow-up of the two of them isn't completely useless. No. Hopefully they get something from it.
Well, it's not useless for the story. It's useless for their goals in this story.
They fail miserably.
Coulson and team, they lock up Sousa.
Or Sousa.
Sousa? Sousa? I think it's Sousa.
I think it's Sammy Sousa.
Okay. Wow. Which is S-O-S-A, so there you go. They lock him up, and Coulson tells him he's a big fan.
Yes, and then we go back to the sequence where May is going to get confused because the smoke is happening, and Yo-Yo's useless because...
It's not that she just gets confused. She's having a panic attack. May has a panic attack here, which I think is very interesting, and I think they're obviously going to carry that forward.
But she had a panic attack, so she is completely panicked, but she's also aware enough to notice in that 1.2 seconds of Yo-Yo not doing the one thing she did, which was really weird. She's like... She notices that even though she can barely see where she's standing.
Well, you know what? I don't disagree with that because we mentioned this previously, like, and Daisy mentioned it too, like, why didn't you grab that bottle? Why aren't you doing the one thing you can do your power? Why aren't you doing it?
And I go, and this is going to pay off. Yeah. I mean, obviously in the scene we find out that the Helios is activated, but the best part about this was when they're walking in there and she's in Yo-Yo's and basically asking May, and May's like, I don't want to talk about it. Do I look like I want to talk about it? Mm-hmm. And then May turns to Yo-Yo and asks her, why did you do that one thing? And Yo-Yo is a great cover. She goes, well, look, like, I want to talk about it. Debbie and I both burst out laughing. It's like perfect.
Back on the test site, we see Helios starting up. Back on the Zephyr, Sharp actually walks out. He's able to free himself from his bonds, and he's able to see the ship, and then Mac knocks him out.
He's like, I'm going to give that guy a concussion.
Concussion.
Probably break his jaw, loosen some molars.
Well, they have fancy healing devices.
Or they have, what are these things called they used to zap people with?
An icer?
Yes, that's another
way of
going.
Remember the icers? Yeah. Back at the test site, we get a little jeep chase here between May and Yo-Yo. Very, very, with May and Yo-Yo chasing after... Jesse Graff, the chromograph. I don't know. Maybe.
Nope. I would like that if she was like running to those guards, if there had been like four different cars, so she'd have to like hop from one to the other to the other. And
well,
then...
that would have been awesome. But instead, she just hops out and she shoots the two MPs.
And then she plugs into the Helios.
Yeah, into her chest. And then May and Yo-Yo show up, and I like this moment here. They run out and they check the pulses right away, the MPs. You know, it's a little subtle thing for them to do, but I really like that. That makes sense.
One of those guards turned out to be the father of Jimmy Carter, and now they changed history.
Wow. I think Jimmy Carter is... Okay. I don't know. Why'd you pick Jimmy Carter?
Because Ronald Reagan was already alive. And
so was Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, maybe.
Back in the 50s? Oh, yeah. Jimmy Carter's alive because he's like 90-something right now. He's 90, I think. At Area 51, we have Coulson, who fights the Chronomicon. And this is a nice
good fight. Good fight.
They forget how strong he is. At the test site, Yo-Yo and May are fighting Jesse Graff. Yo-Yo unplugs the machine, which is a very... We can't stop it. What if we unplug it? Well, that sounds pretty good. We should unplug the machine. So that was a nice way to stop it. And then back at 51, Coulson's fighting. And then Sousa joins the fight because he doesn't know who he's doing it. And Sousa just gets overpowered. Which this is where he's going to start to realize things. And then Simmons is able to get the EMP online, and she shuts it down, killing all electricity, including Coulson.
Which is cool.
But not Yo-Yo's arms. I'm going to see Yo-Yo like, my arms don't work. Yo-Yo's arms don't work.
She's like trying to fly.
But they do work. And then we get a scene here where Sousa goes off. He looks at Coulson's lifeless body, and we actually get a close-up of Coulson's eye. Where
you mentioned the Chronicon's melting.
Yes, the Chronicon's melting. And then Coulson's eye, we see a close-up of his eye. It looks like his system is restarting.
Yeah, that was a great effect, zooming in like that.
Yeah, I thought it was good, too. I don't know what it's going to mean. Is he going to be a different personality? Does it just mean he can restart himself anytime he wants? Now
we're going to find out next time, and then because it's time for the button.
And the button is... Go ahead, Jerry, explain the button.
Well, they are basically saying, we need to preserve the timeline, so let's make this guy look like a fool. And they took that guy who was the whole time the Department of Defense guy, and they make him think he's seen aliens. So he goes into the one place and falls on the ground and makes all these comments. And yeah, basically he says, I've seen alien commies from the future. And that's the end.
And that is the end of the episode.
So now here's what I thought was exciting. And Debbie pointed out this too. I mean, like, did you see this the next time on?
Nope.
Okay, well... The theory going forward, and Ed, I think Ed, let me just double, because Pierce was still texting me as we go here. Let's see if there's anything worth talking about. He does say here, because when we go in the future farther, he goes, I assume Coulson was born in the mid-1960s, which means that Robot Coulson is going to be his father. So. That's why Coulson is so stiff.
He's got this. He wants people to be family connected. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I have not seen the next time.
Here's the thought process is. I don't think this is a spoiler for next week, but maybe it is. I'm going to talk about it anyways. It was the idea that what to do with Daniel Sosa if he becomes the target or if he's in that time period. I guess this is a little bit of spoiler of what they talk about in the next episode, but it could lead to, without getting too in the details, it could lead to him possibly at the end of their 50s adventure, maybe having to travel with them. Maybe he will go to the future. I'm not saying he's going to become that cop like I joked about earlier, but maybe this is a way of pulling him on the show. And because he also, the reason I want to bring this up is it ties in the fact that he thinks there's sleeper agents in S.H.I.E.L.D. And if he's in such a position to do something about that and to mention that, then that means one of two outcomes would have to happen. One of three outcomes. One, he's dismissed, he's disgraced, he's considered a fool and a phony and nobody believes him. Two, he ends up getting killed, so that doesn't go anywhere. Or three, he's taken out of time so that he can't change anything in Hydrus and it stays the way it is. And I think it's going to go number three.
I like that. That's a really good theory. And we'll see, because I mean, this show might keep him on for a long time. The show might, you know,
at least two or three more seasons.
There is a spoiler. I mean, not a spoiler, but a theory. Do you want to hear it?
Regarding?
Just sleuthing? Internet sleuthing kind of thing?
What's the theory about?
Sousa.
Well,
I'm going to tell you, it doesn't really, it's not a spoiler.
Because I'm trying not to spoil what they talk about in the next time on, which is very similar.
Well, this could be true, this could be not. I mean, this is one of those things that, who knows, but when they were talking about the last day of shooting and things like that, they were posting pictures. People saw him in some of the pictures, so he could be on the last day of shooting. They shoot these things out of order, so who knows? But he could be around for the rest of the season, which I thought was an interesting internet sleuthing. So that's why they have to. That's why shows like when Game of Thrones was in, they have to hide all this stuff because people are really intuitive and they'll look at everything and figure out how things work. And this is one of those. This is one of those moments where people saw the tweets. I think it was Ming Yongwei.
I think I kind of remember that back in the day, back when that was, you know, 4 months ago or whatever.
Her name wrong. Ming.
I don't know.
God damn it.
But I think we need to get off this podcast now because the neighbors are all drinking and they're in a pool. So it's going to get loud and rowdy.
A good old Tuesday night drinking, huh?
I don't know. I'm just guessing about the drinking. So this was a great episode. I'm glad we talked about it.
Thank you.
Did it change your opinion at all about the episode?
No, I think it's still pretty good. I mean, it was the sharp storyline was a little silly. I didn't even think about it being silly, and it was. But
I think it was pointless in a lot of ways.
But it was entertaining. And still, the Oriental line gave me a good laugh. He called me Oriental. She's pissed. So, yeah. Did you change your opinion?
No. I liked it. Here's an interesting... Last thing I want to say on this episode. It's an interesting fact when we're dealing with... And they only, I bring this up because the show brought it up. Is when this guy was dealing with all of the people who he was seeing. And he was, you know, like, obviously you have an Asian character. You have an Hispanic character. You have an African-American character. And then you have Deke, who's, you know... white character. And so they're calling all those out. I wonder how his interaction would have been with Daisy, because that actress, although appears, you would say, like, most people would look at her and say she's Caucasian. No, she's half Asian, half Asian American. So it's like, I wonder if that would ever be addressed, because I don't think that's ever really been. I take it back. Brought up in the show, and the fact that her mother was, even though an inhuman, was played by an Asian American
American actress. True, because I mean, they didn't bring it up when they were in the diner. I mean, they obviously brought up Mac and Yo-Yo, but they didn't bring up Coulson and Daisy.
Interesting about how things are perceived and how perception and calling that out and basically breaking down to how stupid racism is.
Yes.
You know, it's so stupid.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you for listening. We're going to get the next one out sooner than later. This one was probably the bigger delay out of the recent ones, but we'll be back real soon. And thank you for listening. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.